I'm now going to speak on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. I'm going to first chant the Sanskrit verses to the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Udvamulam Adhashakam Ashpatang Prahu Avyayam Chandangsi Yasya Parnani Yastang Veda Saveda Vit Adaschodvang Prasistastasya Saka Guna Pravridda Vishaya Pravala Adastu Mulanyunu Santatani Karmanu Bhandini Manushya Loke Narupam Yasyeha Tatopalabhyate Nanto Nachadirna Chasampratishta Ashvatam Enam Suvirudha Mulam Asanga Shastrena Dridhena Chitva Tatak Padang Tat Parimargitavyam Yasmin Gata Nani Gatanti Buya Tameva Chadyang Purushang Prapadye Yatak Pravritti Prasrita Purani Nirmana Moha Jitasanga Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vrnivitta Kama Dvandvarve Mukta Sukaduka Sangyar Gachyantyamudha Padam Avyayam Tat Natat Vasayate Suyo Nashashanko Napavaka Yadgatva Nandivartante Tadama Padamang Mama Mamaivangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha Manakshastan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati Shariram Yad Avapnoti Yachap Yukram Atishvaraha Grihit Vaitani Sanyati Vayor Gandhan Ivashayat Shrotrang Chakshus Parshanangcha Rasanam Granam Evacha Adishtaya Manaschayang Vishayan Upasevati Ukramantang Stitang Papi Bunjanang Vagunan Vitam Vimudana Pashyanti Pasyanti Jnana Chakshusha Yatanto Yoginaschayang Pasyanti Atman Yavastitam Yatanto Pyakritatmano Nainang Pasyat Yachetasaha Yad Aditya Gatang Tejo Jagad Basayate Kilam Yachchandramasi Yachchadnao Tat Tejo Vidimamakam Gama Vishyachabhutani Dharayam Yaham Ojasa Pushnami Chausadhi Sarava Somo Bhutvara Satmakaha Ahang Vaishvanara Bhutva Praninang Deham Asritaha Pranapana Samayukta Patpacham Yannang Chaturvidham Savasya Chahang Riddhi Sannivishto Matak Smritir Jnanam Apohanang Cha Vedaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krid Vedavid Eva Chaham Dvavimau Purushaloke Shadas Chakshada Eva Cha Shadasaravani Bhutani Kutastok Shada Uchyate Uttama Purushastvanya Paramet Yudharita Yoloka Trayam Avishya Vibhartya Vyaya Ishwara Yasmaksharam Atitoham Aksharad Apichotama Atosmi Loke Vedecha Pratita Purushottama Yomam Evam Asamudho Janati Purushottamam Sasarvavid bhajati mang sarva bhavena bharata iti guyatamang shastram idang uktang mayanaga etad budva budiman syat kritta krityascha bharata om tatsat iti srimad bhagavad gita supanishatsu brahma vidyayam yoga shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sangvade Purushottama Yoga Nam Panchadasho Dhyayaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarane Om Ajnana Chimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vithangstha He Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bhando Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavan Eshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nan Sri Advaita Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Bol. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bol. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kivalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. So tonight's chapter, 15, Yoga of the Supreme Person. So, the Supreme Person, Purushottama. So let's see now. The ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge is to detach oneself from the entanglement of this material world and to understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must understand Krishna's supreme identity. One must also surrender unto him and engage in his devotional service. Srila Prabhupada gives a nice summary of this chapter as follows. Srila Prabhupada, of course, is my spiritual master. He initiated me in 1974. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing one has to surmount is the weakness of the heart. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of the heart is that as one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature, he or she becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. The problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of the heart. In this verse, in this chapter, the first five verses describe the process of freeing oneself from these weaknesses of the heart, and the rest of the chapter, from the sixth through the end, discusses Purushottam Yoga. So, of course, this Sanskrit word yoga means to link, to connect. Purushottama, two words, Purusha, Uttam. Purusha means enjoyer, person. Uttama means topmost, transcendental. By the end of this chapter, it will be clear who this Purushottam is. I don't want to spoil the punchline. Stay tuned. Stay for the whole chapter, and you will find out Purushottam. If you're ready to proceed, please say, Jai Shri Krishna. Jai. And I've made a vow that whenever I see my Brahmin friend, Manibhai Thakur, I must sing one mantra. We'll do very short. Hari Haraye Namaha Bolo. Hari Haraye Namaha. 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 Bolo. Are you satisfied, Manibhai? Okay. Jai. So, this chapter, from my analyzing and studying it for the past 30 years, I have understood this chapter to be divided into different sections. As was confirmed by Prabhupada, verses 1 through 6, I call it understanding reality and its perverted reflection. Normally, people here in the world think this is reality. And those who are not devotees, when they see people like me dressed like this, and I've heard it ever since 1973 when I started looking like this, they would sometimes mock, laugh, "Oh, you're not of this world. You're crazy." And I would tell them, "No, you think this is real? The real world is in the spiritual sky." And this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right from the start, says that this existence is a perverted reflection. And there's a meditation given. That meditation, envision a tree on the other side of a lake. You're standing on the other side. You see the tree with the leaves and branches on top, the roots in the bottom. But if that tree is reflected in the lake, it's the opposite. The root is at the top, and the leaves and branches, bottom. Perverted reflection. So there is a nice painting you will find in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, which depicts this. And on the other side of the shore stands Radha Krishna, as they stand here in this wonderful temple, so wonderfully named, Radha Raman Vedic Temple. Perfect. Because that is the reality, the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Here, in this material world, it is a perverted reflection. In the Bhagavatam, and many of you heard me say it many, many times, in the Bhagavatam, this material existence is compared to a dream. When you're having a dream, while you're having the dream, it's very real. But when you wake up, it was just a dream. It works both ways. Last night, I had a dream. What was I doing in my dream? I was preaching. I was with devotees. I was eating good prasad. Then, 3 o'clock came. I woke up. I was in Krishna Kumar Kundan's house. But it was a great dream. But sometimes we don't have nice dreams, do we? Sometimes. And while you're in that nightmare, you're so fearful, and it's very real. Tiger is chasing you, or sometimes I've had earthquake dreams, because we've had so many earthquakes, right? So one time in my dream, I felt like we were having an earthquake. And I woke up, my wife, "We're having an earthquake." She says, "You're dreaming. There's no earthquake." Oh. But while I was in the dream, it felt very real. I was really experiencing an earthquake. So when you wake up from the bad dream, it was just a dream. So just like those dreams that we all have had experienced, the day will come for each and every one of us where we will understand, this whole life I led was a dream. Yes. This is, in fact, this concept in the Bhagavatam is said to be the secret teaching of the Vedas. Secret. If anyone can appreciate or come to this conclusion, I get it. You have understood the Vedas. Because that's the secret teaching. To come to this point that this material existence, as it says here, perverted reflection. Then, the idea is how to wake up from the dream. How to get to the reality. If this is a perverted reflection, if this is a dream, then naturally we want to come to the reality. We want to wake up from the dream. So the question is how to do that. Here's how to do it. Krishna tells you in this chapter. In verse number 5, he says, first, become free from false prestige. Become free from illusion, from bad association. You should begin to understand what is eternal, as was explained in the very beginning in chapter 2, the difference between the body and the soul, the difference between matter and spirit. Krishna says, you must be free from lust. That was explained in chapter 3, when Arjuna asked the question, why do we sometimes do things, even sometimes unwillingly? Krishna says it's only due to lust, which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. This is the real enemy. Prahlad said the same thing to his father. Prahlad told his father, you think that Vishnu is your enemy, you think all these people are... No. My dear father, your only enemy is your own uncontrolled senses. That's your real enemy. 5-year-old boy telling his demoniac father, who he called Asuryavarya. He addressed his father, O best of the demons. Could you imagine your son addressing like that? And that's exactly what he was, yes. But no father wants to be, right? Every father thinks, Hiranyakashipu thought like that. I'm the best. I'm giving you good education. And when Hiranyakashipu asked his son, what are you learning in school? Prahlad said, nothing. Whatever I really understood, I learned from my guru, Narada. Like, say some of you might have paid for your children's education, right? All you want is some appreciation, but if your child says, yes, I went to 4 years of Stanford, that's a waste of time. You would think, what an ingrate, right? So, lust. What is lust? Lust is not just sex. Lust encompasses so many things. Basically, lust means I want to enjoy this material world to its fullest extent. There is a personification of lust. You know who that is? Ravan. Ravan is considered lust incarnate. You all know from Ramayana how lusty Ravan was. But that lust doesn't just mean women. It means all this material attractions. Profit, fame, adoration, distinction. This is called subtle sex. So that's lust. I want to enjoy this material world. So Krishna says, if you want to go to his abode, if you want to get to the reality, you must be done with this lust. Many of you might know the example of, what's his name? He's in the Bhagavatam. Yayati, one of Krishna's ancestors. Krishna's Yadu dynasty, because Yayati had 6 sons, one of his sons was Yadu. So Yayati is described in Bhagavatam. Very interesting personality. I could give a whole katha just on Yayati, but just to make the point. After Yayati, he had 2 wives, Devayani and Sharyati, I think, can't remember, but Devayani, daughter of Shukracharya. It is described in the Bhagavatam that Yayati, he exchanged his old age with his son, so that he can enjoy sex, because he was cursed to become old. Then Shukracharya said, if you can find someone to take your old age and give youth, you could live. So one of his sons, being dutiful, his name was Puru, he said, yes, my father, you can take my youth, I'll take your old age. That's a fine son. So it is explained in the Bhagavatam, Yayati enjoyed celestial sex for 1,000 years. And what did he say after 1,000 years? I'm still not satisfied. He took his wife with him, and he told a story, which is actually their story, he goat and she goat. And in conclusion, Yayati said to his wife, we are just like this he goat and she goat. And then there is this powerful statement by Yayati. Yayati says, there is no end to satisfying lusty desires. There is no end. One has to voluntarily give them up. There's no other recourse. Some people think, oh, as I grow old, then I'll become less interested in sex. You'd be surprised how many old men are in the nightclubs in Las Vegas, looking for so many different things. That's not gone away just because you get old. The desire is still there in the heart. I told you, maybe some of you heard, the man I met in Panama, Indian man, in his 70s. And he said, oh, Swamiji, I'm a very bad man. I like to go to clubs, drink liquor, watch dancing girls. And he's 70 years old. So I said to him, so when are you going to give it up? He says, when I'm old. I said, when is that? When I turn 90. So I laughed at him. I said, you may not live one more year. So it's not just because you get old that lust just no. So Yayati said, you have to voluntarily give it up. So Krishna is saying here, you must be done with material lust. He says, those who are unbewildered, and here's the key line, who know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person. That's the real thing. Surrender. A theme that keeps coming back in Bhagavad Gita and is finally hammered by Krishna in that famous verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam. There it is. Me exclusively take shelter. Sharanam. Surrender. I know most people don't like that word. So give the alternate reading. Take shelter. Mam Ekam, exclusive shelter. So Krishna says, if you can do that, then you can achieve his eternal abode. This place is not eternal. Vedas teach us, pralaya, there's a cycle, creation, maintenance, destruction. Keeps going, like the clock, one cycle after another. You want to escape this, Krishna is saying you have to go to his eternal abode. Hopefully, that is your desire, that you would like to go to Krishna's eternal abode. Okay, then Krishna says, here is just a little glimpse of my eternal abode. There's no need of the sun or moon. Everything is self-illuminated. Just think. Oh, there's no need of fire or electricity. No electric bill in Krishna's abode. Pretty good, huh? Have you noticed how your electric bill every year is going up? They're tweaking the rates just a little bit, right? And Krishna says, those who reach it never return to this material world. I love that. If you can reach Krishna's abode, you don't have to come back. Now, verses 7 through 11. Understanding the position of the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul means a prisoner here in this material world. Whether you're Lord Brahma or a worm, you're still a prisoner. As long as you have a material body, you're a prisoner. So it's called conditioned soul. Very nice verse here. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says, you are my eternal, fragmental part and parcel. In chapter 2, Krishna said, you're eternal, and gave 20 verses describing the soul. But here, he makes it personal. Krishna says, you are his fragmental part. Therefore, you're all Krishna Gotra. You use that word Gotra for family, right? The soul, and you're all soul, if you're alive, your soul, you belong to Achyuta Gotra. Because Achyuta is just another name for Krishna. Infallible. Welcome to Krishna's family. Give yourselves a hand. But he says, right now, because you're a conditioned soul, you're struggling very hard with six senses. Ears, eyes, nose, tongue, skin, and the mind. The big one. The one that's so difficult. You remember in chapter 6, when Krishna explained the yoga system, Arjuna said, you want me to control my mind? What, are you kidding? I might as well try to control a hurricane. And Arjuna said, the mind is obstinate, very strong, difficult. He gave some, and Krishna said, yes, that's true, I agree. But Krishna didn't give him an excuse. He said, but you can control it. That is the whole purpose of yoga. Some people think, oh, yoga means I get my body fit. Like even now in America, football players are doing yoga so that they can become limber. But actually the purpose of yoga is to control the mind. If the mind is controlled, senses are controlled. If the senses are controlled, shanti. My favorite story I tell all the time. Once in Panama, I was in this penthouse apartment, 80th floor. Very rich Sindhi businessman. So, one of the ladies he invited to my satsang. Afterwards, she said, Swamiji, can you give me peace? I love this. And yeah, I have my magic wand right here. Hold on. No. I said, do you eat meat? She goes, yes. I can't give you peace. Do you drink liquor? Of course. Can't have peace. I said, do you gamble? She goes, yes, we do our Gita thing and then we play cards. No peace. Strike 3, you're out. I can't give you peace because you're doing everything that's opposite of peace. If you want peace, you have to control your mind and senses. Many people came to Prabhupada, Swamiji, I want to be your disciple. Prabhupada said, no cheap disciples. You must follow these 4 regulative principles. No cheap disciples. He would not accept. They had to agree to follow these principles. Not that, because there was another movement, you paid $35, they gave you a private mantra. Then later on, people found out, oh, you got the same private mantra as me? Hey, what? I thought it was secret. So many people got the same one. They paid their $35. No. There has to be what is called, I'm looking for the exact term, Purushcharya. Purushcharya means previous or pious religious activities that put you in a position so that the mantra, the medicine, will actually work. It is the life force of the mantra. If one has not performed Purushcharya, then even if he gets a mantra, it'll not fructify. Very important. There has to be Purushcharya activities. That's why during Prabhupada's time, you had to follow these regulative principles strictly, minimum 6 months before there was even consideration. Then after 6 months strictly following, then the initiation was there, you made vows in front of the deities, in front of the sacrificial fire, in front of the assembly of devotees. I vow from this day forward, know this, know this, know this, and I will chant 16 rounds. Everybody chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So controlling the mind and senses is what yoga is all about. Doesn't matter. There are so many yogas. That's okay. But all of them have this same thread. Control the mind and senses. Otherwise there is no yoga. Then it becomes bhoga. There has to be control of the mind and senses. So in the next verses of this chapter, Krishna explains what is the position of the conditioned soul in this material world, how he is struggling, and how the senses are situated. But then comes the final 6 verses. Yoga of the Supreme Person. This is the real nectar. So, turn up the volume of your ears. Tune in. Are you ready for this really confidential part of this chapter? Okay, very good. First comes a most powerful verse. A verse that Prabhupada quotes thousands of times. Savasya chaham hridi sannivishta matak smritir jnanam apohanang cha vedaishti sarvair aham eva vedya vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham sisi radha raman bhagavan ki jai. This one verse, if you can really understand it, pretty much you've understand the whole Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart. Do you accept that? Do you accept that Krishna, God, is in your heart? Good. Step one. Krishna says, therefore, from me, you are able to remember, know something, and also forget. So when you forget your car keys, when you forget where you parked the car, that's Krishna going, na 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 na. You forgot me. So, immediately, the devotee takes shelter of Krishna. So, this forgetfulness works two ways. For the demon, Krishna helps them to forget him, because that's what they want. Like Lord Vishnu with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was looking for Vishnu to kill him. So Vishnu said, oh my God, I had to make myself invisible because wherever I go, this nut's going to be following me. So what did Vishnu do? Ah, I'll enter his heart. He won't find me there because that will be the last place he will look. So Vishnu entered Hiranyakashipu's nostrils one time when he was breathing, because Hiranyakashipu would never think that God's in his heart, because a demon wants to forget God, and therefore he needs God's help. See how nice God is? God is, he's cool. Krishna's cool. Oh, you want to forget me? I'll help you. I'll help you to remember all kinds of sinful activities so that you'll never think of me. I'll help you. Now, for you, because you are devotees, Krishna helps you to remember him, because that's what you want. If you're a devotee, you want to remember Krishna. So Krishna will do so many things. Stub your toe. Hare Krishna. You lose your keys. Krishna. Krishna will do so many things to help you remind you of him. And he'll help you forget your bad desires. Because that's what you want. He'll help you. He's your friend. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. At the end of chapter 5, Krishna said, I am everyone's best friend. For the demon, I'm your best friend. I'll help you to forget me. For the devotee, I'll help you remember me. Then at this verse, Krishna says, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. This is your diploma. How do you know that you know the Vedas? Krishna is saying, if you know me, you have graduated. Cum laude, I don't know what the expression is. You are the perfect understanding of the Vedas. Krishna says, I compiled them and I know them. Now, Krishna says, there are two classes of beings, fallible and infallible. Krishna says, here in this world, everyone's fallible. There are four defects of a conditioned soul. Brahma, Vipralipsa, Karnapatava, and Brahma, can't remember now. That's because I'm a conditioned soul. I just proved my point. Okay. Oh, I think Pramad. Okay. Starting off with, we have imperfect senses. Because we have imperfect senses, we're bound to make mistakes. Because we make mistakes, we fall into illusion. And even though I have imperfect senses, and I make mistakes, and I fall into illusion, I still try to cheat you and come off like I'm where it's at. That's a conditioned soul. That's a conditioned soul. So everybody in this material world has these four defects to a lesser or greater degree. It's inherent with a conditioned soul. Whereas in the spiritual world, people don't have these defects. Now comes a very important verse. So Krishna says, these two beings, this is all you're going to find, fallible and infallible. In the material world, fallible. In the spiritual world, infallible. But besides these two is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord himself. So who is that? Who is that? Yes. And just see, Krishna is talking about himself as if he's a separate individual. This is why I love Krishna. In America, we have this expression, cool. And I've always said, Krishna is the coolest. He could have said, and I'm the great... No. Krishna is talking to Arjuna. This greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord himself, as if he's somebody separate. But it's actually him. Who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. Brahma creates, Shankara destroys, Vishnu Narayan maintains. That's their service. Brahma's creation, that's his service. When Lord Shiva destroys, that's his service. That makes him glorious. He's doing that service. Just like here in the temple. When I come on Sunday mornings, there are ladies making beautiful flower garlands. That's their service. Gadadhar is dressing, singing. the board members, you are managing and directing that service. That's your service to Krishna. Very, very responsible post to guide this temple so it becomes sweet and better. So it's a very serious position. Then Krishna says, now Krishna's going to talk. All right, he talked in the third person, right? But now he says, because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that supreme person. So now we know who is Purushottama. Krishna is saying, why am I Purushottama? I'm beyond both the fallible and the infallible. That means, even when I go to the kingdom of God, I'll still be subordinate. I'll still be in the position as servant. In the kingdom of God, there's only one enjoyer, Krishna, or Narayan, depending on where you go. He says, I am the greatest. I am that supreme person. Everybody say, Purushottama. Now comes the first verse I ever memorized in Bhagavad Gita. In 1973, this was the first verse I memorized. Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, that's the key line, is the knower of everything. This coincides with what he said in verse number 15. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. What does the word Veda mean? Knowledge. If you really have knowledge, you'll come to the conclusion, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Here Krishna is saying the same thing. Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting. Now, that stage is a gift. It's a gift. Earlier in chapter 7, those of you who know Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavamang Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava. So, if in this life you have come to the conclusion, yes, Krishna is God, and there's no doubt, you have achieved that after millions of lifetimes. It doesn't come easy. It's a gift. Comes from God. Sometimes the question is asked, Prabhuji, how does someone become a devotee? The answer that's given by Prahlad, that's given by Jadabharat, is you become a devotee of God when you are blessed by another devotee. That's how. With that blessing, then you come, you're trained, but still, this point here, the idea that you understand Krishna is God without doubting, that comes from Him. So I bless you. Who would like to be blessed? I bless you all. If you already have it, don't lose it. If you don't have it and you want it, I bless you that Krishna gives it to you ASAP. All in favor say, Hari! 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 So someone, Krishna says, who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, he proves it. It's not lip service. Oh yes, I. Krishna says, therefore, he or she engages in full devotional service to me. So you have to walk the walk, talk the talk. Not just, oh yes, I have that. That's all right. How do you prove it? Krishna is saying, therefore such a person engages in full devotional service to me. What is devotional service? Shravanam kirtanam vishno smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atman nivedanam. That's Prahlad. When Prahlad's father asked him, what was the best thing you learned in the university of demons? Because that's where he went. Prahlad said, oh, the best thing I've ever learned? He quoted this verse. Shravanam kirtanam vishno. And when he heard Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu became furious because Vishnu, to him, was like a Muslim terrorist. Vishnu was like Osama bin Laden to Hiranyakashipu. That's when he threw him off his lap and wanted him killed. He had taken the sides of the enemy. But Prahlad was fearless. So you're doing devotional service right now. It begins by hearing. That's why you go to temple. Prabhupada was adamant on this. Not that you just come and ring the bell. Hello, Krishna, goodbye. You have to sit and hear. That's important. You have to hear about Krishna. Then after you've heard, then you chant. Some people may say, I can't hear, I can't chant. Then I say, there's a tenth item. Prahlad mentioned 9. I mentioned 10th. Prasadanam. That's how I started. I could not hear, but I loved prasad. So I call it the 10th item of devotional service. Eatanam. But it has to be Krishna prasad. That means you have to come either to the temple or you make prasad at home. How do you make prasad? Easy. Whatever you make, offer it to Krishna. Now you got to find out what Krishna likes to eat. If I come to your home, like when I go to Rambai's house, I know I'm going to get cheesecake. The best cheesecake is not made by someone in New York. It's made by someone right here in this temple. Best cheese, I should know. I know what is good cheesecake. So when you have a guest, right, you try to make something that your guest likes. If you know your guest doesn't like chana, you're not going to put a big bowl of... No, you're going to... Right? So if Krishna's your guest, you're going to cook what he likes. Now, in a couple of days, there'll be the Govardhan. You're going to have Govardhan ceremony. So Krishna was very clear at that time what he likes to eat. He gave a whole list. Pakora, samosa, rice, halva. No tacos. So Krishna, he gave a whole list. It's there in the Bhagavatam. What Krishna likes to eat. Makan. Right? Rubri. Sandesh. Are you getting hungry? I am. So we offer Krishna what he likes to eat. All right. Final verse of this chapter, because I'm over time. Please forgive me. I'll beat myself. All right. So this 19th verse where Krishna says, whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is the knower of everything, engages in full devotional service, means heart and soul. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedas. Aren't you glad you came tonight? You just got, according to Krishna, anybody doubt Krishna? He already said, I'm the knower of the Vedas, right? So he's saying, the most confidential part of the Vedas is what he just said, to know him as God without doubting. O sinless one, and is now disclosed by me, whoever understands this will become wise, and their endeavors will know perfection. Thus ends the 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of Purushottama Yoga, the yoga of the Supreme Person. Raise your hands. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless this wonderful congregation of Radha Maman Vedic Temple. Remove all their anxieties. Remove all the impediments so that they can know you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting. And may they engage fully in your devotional service and live happily ever after. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I want to thank the board of this temple, the managers of this temple, the pujaris of this temple, and the congregation. Thank you for allowing this fool to speak on Bhagavad Gita every month. I hope I can continue till I'm 108. Hari Bol.